you're here. Fellowship, freedom, knowing you're near.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. It's the 8th of February 2013. In a little over 2 months, we're going to be launching into our merged gospel series. I have my book right in front of us, Jason. I appreciate this. I'm glad you persevered. You showed it to me a year or so back and you were so excited to share it with me, and I went, I'm not interested. And when I finally got one into my hands and started reading it, I'm fascinated just how it's merged all four gospel accounts together, and you can see I have some notes in here. And on Wednesday, we didn't even get to talk about some things that I thought were really special, but today we're going to be focusing on Ruth. But I want to alert our listeners that April 11th, it's the second Thursday in April, we'll be gathering for our first launching of the Merged Gospel Series. It's going to be a community-wide Bible study. Thank you, God, for Thrivent Financial. That's helping underwrite some of the costs so we can offer these books at $20, and the resource material and the gatherings and some special treats. I'm working with some restaurants and some other things. We'll see what I can pull together in the next couple months, but we hope that many from our listening area will come together on these Thursday nights, the second and fourth Thursdays of every month. It'll be a 12-part series, and each of the weeks will be unique studies. Maybe in a few weeks we'll share what it will look like and how it'll come together, because I know we have a lot to talk about on Ruth today, but you can stop by greatnewsradio.org and look on our homepage. You'll see a little merged gospel. You'll actually see the book cover on the homepage and some instructions on how to register and how to send in your $20. So we'll get a whole bunch of books for everyone and gather and study and worship and fellowship together and maybe break some bread. I'm working with a few restaurants to see if I can get some samples sent over so that you guys can enjoy that. But thanks again to Thrivent Financial that's helping us with some of the costs. And I hope many of you will carve out some time to study God's Word together, because tonight's the last in our series of Rabbi Jesus.
Yeah.
And if you have a flyer or somewhere you wrote down February 22nd as being our last in the series, for various reasons, tonight will be the last one, February 8th from 6:30 to 8 p.m. at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet. And come on out and enjoy the fellowship. Even if it's the first time you've come out before, I think we had a number of new people last time we met, and we had a whole room full. We'll be downstairs to accommodate hundreds of you, but I think we'll have a good crowd of 50, 60, 70, 80, maybe 100 of us studying God's Word together. And what's a sneak preview that we're going to cover tonight?
We're going to cover the Lord's Prayer. So we'll finish up the Lord's Prayer, and then there's a little other thing we're going to do, but I'm not going to tell you what it is until we do it, because we'll see how long the Lord's Prayer takes to do. But it's going to be great. And if anybody out there is like, man, Jason, you promised me this many classes. I do, and I did, and I apologize, but something came up for my wife and I on the 21st and 22nd of February. We'll be traveling together without the kids, so any of you are parents out there, you understand what this means. But you can send me an email, and even if you've never been to a Rabbi Jesus class, you can send me an email at jason@greatnewsradio.org. That's jason@greatnewsradio.org, and I'm going to send you out some audio teaching that will go right along with this Rabbi Jesus study that you'll be able to have. You'll feel like you're sitting in the room with me. Actually, you'll feel like I've stopped by your house or I'm in the car with you. And you'll enjoy that. So I'll keep my promise to you, but it'll just look a little different.
And these are like 25-minute little teachings?
I don't know if I can teach for 25 minutes. I'm a 50-minute guy.
Yeah. And we're also going to be broadcasting in about 25 days some of those teachings or some of the talks that you gave on the Rabbi Jesus over the airs.
Yeah, there'll be a full 8 days of the Rabbi Jesus that'll air at 7:32 a.m., 7:32 p.m., and they're pre-recorded, polished versions, so you'll be able to hear. I'll articulate very well. You won't get kind of – I know some people sometimes say, Jason, you talk fast. These things are recorded.
Yeah, they thought I was fast, and it's like, see?
Well, when I get excited, but these will be recorded, and they're very intentional. They'll be very easy to study, and hopefully they'll bless many people, even those who attended the Rabbi Jesus studies, but now will be able to listen again and be able to maybe go, oh, I remember that, or I missed that part, or maybe I didn't even myself articulate it well, but in this format, I'm able to.
So they'll email you at jason@greatnewsradio.org and say, I'm interested in knowing more about those Rabbi Jesus series, and then you'll send them links or ways to hear the audio?
Most certainly.
Okay, so if you want to be a part of that Rabbi Jesus in person, come out tonight at 6:30 p.m. to the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet, right on Route 47 and Riverbend Boulevard. Now, again, realizing that this morning's program re-airs in the evening, and tonight it'll only be re-airing on 89.3 FM. You still have time. You could come in a little late because it's still worth the fellowship and the teaching time. But we'll continue with our Founders Week programming tonight. It's John MacArthur, and that's at 7 to 9 p.m., the evening edition of Founders Week Live from the Moody Memorial Church.
And glad you're not preempting him. He'll write a book about you.
Yes. And actually, he's one of your favorite Bible teachers over the air.
He is. And, he really is.
And so you'll be kind of teaching while you're while he's teaching, too. So I guess, but people can always tape Founders Week, whatever that means.
I don't know what connection you were making there, but it's just, I don't know.
People could choose between you and John MacArthur, but then I was like, choose Jason.
Is there anybody out there who has counseling? I need some counseling now.
And then 9:30 this morning, D.A. Carson and Eric Mason at 10:45.
D.A. Carson is a professor at Trinity Divinity, brilliant person, written tons of scholarly books. I heard him teach on Revelation chapter 21 at our EFCA conference earlier this year. So I his preaching, it's like wine tasting, I told somebody. I said, it's amazing.
Do you want to tell me some more about this wine tasting?
What? I mean, you know, a communion. This is the part where you say, don't call in. We like having Jason. He works for free.
Hey, it's been probably almost a month since I've had to do a disclaimer on you.
I know. Well, it's coming. Trust me, in this week's Ruth program.
Okay, so Founders Week, again, it finishes off today. Morning sessions, 9:30 to noon. Evening session, 7 to 9 p.m.
We're already 7 minutes in, and we've given Stu a ton of great things to write about.
Stu's going
to
be texting and emailing me today. So we're in the Book of Ruth. Chapter 3. Where did we leave off? A week ago.
A week ago, well, Naomi is saying, hey, you know what? The Holy Spirit's speaking to me. The harvest is about to end, and you need to get your butt in gear and wine tasting. And you need to get it in gear and get moving. She tells her to go and to take a bath and to get herself anointed. This very Jewish connection there to the mikvah purification bath, that she's going to step into the holiness of God, the anointing of the oil, the aroma in which it would be used at the temple to attract, be attractional for God. And then she says in verse 5, she says, I'll do whatever you say, Ruth answered. So she went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her, which once again is Ruth really doing Exodus 20:12, which is to honor your father and mother. I mean, Ruth was honoring Naomi's wishes and what Naomi said. She trusted Naomi. She trusted Naomi to lead her well.
And she also trusted in the God of Israel, Yahweh, because of just knowing what the principles that had been laid out that Naomi had taught her, and just the integrity that she kept as a young woman, not chasing after the younger guys, and that was referenced earlier.
Yeah, it's really fascinating, too, that this is a woman who largely came from a pagan upbringing. I mean, her foundation and her roots, everything that she has to kind of keep her connected to the ground is pagan, and yet she has such a fascinating understanding of God and how God works, and standing within the promises of God and being obedient to God's wishes. And so I find it fascinating that, once again, another example of how God uses the unlikely people, ordinary people, people with a sketchy background, to do amazing things as they stand before Him in obedience and submission. But it says, so she went down to the threshing threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. And Boaz had finished eating and drinking. Remember, those of you guys, especially after the weekend with the Super Bowl, we know what that means. I was like, by the end, I could have just fallen asleep at any point. And definitely it says he was in good spirits. I know what that means. But what I do want to make a reference to here for those of us who need to understand this. Boaz is a good man. Boaz is a gospel man. Boaz is a God-centered man. I've heard it taught before, and I've heard it thrown out there, that Boaz must have fallen asleep because he was somehow intoxicated.
Yeah, overserved.
Right, he was overserved.
Haven't you heard that? I've been overserved again and again.
I have never heard that before.
Well, if they tuned in Wednesday, they heard some other things.
Served.
Yes, that's it.
Oh, okay. So Boaz is not, by the nature of who he is and what he is not overserved here. He was in good spirits because the harvest had ended. He was in good spirits because time for all this work and all this culmination of all this hard work had been done. They ate a good meal to celebrate, much like we would do in our culture today. And he had something to drink. And as I said before, the wine that they would have or the drink that they would have was a fermented grape drink, not at all the same as what we drink today.
Yeah, that alcoholic content would have been so much lower.
Right, exactly. And it says that he went down at the far end of the grain pile. So what Boaz is actually doing is he's sleeping near the grain to guard it. He's guarding the grain pile from thieves and robbers. I mean, when darkness came about, there was all kinds of sketchy things that would happen. Far end of the grain pile, and Ruth approached quietly and uncovered his feet and lay down. I've heard this taught. Ruth was going and she was doing something sketchy, that laying at his feet meant something else. And it doesn't mean that. Now, let's understand this, that multiple times in the Old Testament, a lot of times prior to Ruth, the word lay or lie means an intimate sort of contact. In Genesis 4:1, and Adam lay with his wife Eve. Some of your translations would say that Adam knew Eve. Isaiah knew his wife. It's a connotation to intimate contact that they have. And usually out of those, when they knew or they lay with them, we see it produces a child. So we understand the intimate contact. But that's not what this is. The Hebrew word here to lay there is the word sakab. And it's used in 3:4, 3:7, and 3:8. And it means to sleep. She went down. She uncovered his feet. She lay down and she went to sleep. She quietly did it because she didn't want to wake him up. She didn't want to disturb him. She knew he worked hard all day. Ruth is a good woman. Ruth is a gospel woman. She's rooted in understanding and following and obeying the God of Israel. She loves the Lord her God with her whole heart, her whole soul, and her whole mind. And anybody who wants to read that any differently, you have to go back and argue all the things that happened prior to that. All the ways that she stepped into the moments that God has divinely authored for her, all the places that God has given her to set her feet.
And her character has been stellar at this point. She stayed with her mother-in-law. She continued to want to follow the God of Yahweh, the God of Israel, and she didn't chase after the younger men. That's been referenced too.
Right. I mean, just look at her character. In chapter 2 and verse 10, it says she bowed low at Boaz's feet, and that's when Boaz offers her this invitation. Again, he says, a daughter. You know, she bows low to his feet. If she had sketchy character, she would never have done that. Ruth is a woman of excellence. But we're not always people of excellence. And sometimes we see things like this and we read into maybe what we think we would do or what we think might happen or we think the way would it goes. But the Bible emphasizes first and foremost what a good godly woman she was. And then it emphasizes to us that literally she laid down at his feet.
And we've so allowed Hollywood to kind of dictate or to influence what we would think was going on.
Sure. This is one of those moments where all of a sudden we have to cover the kids' eyes and, you know, see no evil, hear no evil, know no evil. So she goes and she lays down at his feet. In the middle of the night, something startled the man. You know, there's a woman laying at your foot. That would be startling, right? But what startles him is interesting in the Hebrew here. The connotation is like a cold wind. He gets kind of cold feet. Something startles him. So we see something there like something startled him. Well, I would ask the question, well, what startled him? The Holy Spirit, God. God startled him. God awoke him because this is a moment now that God is going to use. God has divinely authored this moment. He's poured all kinds of things to make them happen, and something startled him. It's almost like you laugh and you go, ha ha, what was that something? God. God did it. because now God is going to do something amazing right here. So something startled a man. And this is another one where I read and I just kind of laugh because I go, it's not hard to startle a man. I mean, so it's like, wow, that was really hard. I mean, you know, God, woo. you know, all Ruth had to do was kind of at his feet go, I'm feeling this way. And he would have been startled. He would have went right to the garage. And he turned and discovered a woman lying at his feet. And he says, who are you? I mean, so it's night, it's dark. Also understand this. Ruth probably looks a little different because she's got her best clothes on. She's been bathed. She's been anointed. I mean, every day that Boaz sees her, she's in the fields and she's dirty and she's grimy and she's been working and she's sweating. And remember, she only goes to the shelter one time for just a little tiny bit. She's a hard worker. So she was probably sweaty and nasty. And so she looks a little different, and she obviously smells a lot different. I mean, so now it's like, whoa. You know, so he says,
Now what verse are we in?
We're in verse 9. He says, who are you? Now, also, I want you to understand something, too. Who are you? This is such a powerful moment of invitation by God. Think about when God says to Adam in the garden, where are you? All the multiple times God says to people when he comes to Cain after Cain has slayed Abel, and he says, where are you? Where is your brother? God knows these things, but God always is in the revelation business. God wants us to reveal and self-reveal and know. But here, Boaz uses very godlike languages to say, who are you? It gives Ruth yet another opportunity to step into the godly character and the godly person, the person that God has authored her to be. These questions are questions that help us to reveal inside of ourselves and then step forward rightly into the places that God has preordained for our feet to set. Because we know that, because what does Ruth say? He goes, who are you? And then Ruth said, hey, it's Ruth. I'm laying here. What do you want to do? No.
The ratings, Stu, just went up again.
But it's not what she says. She says, I'm your servant, Ruth. Think about this. If this was God saying this, who are you? I'm your servant, Ruth. That's what she's been all the time. She's been God's servant, Ruth, to be used for God's plans and purposes. And we know later on that her and Boaz together are going to begin the lineage of David, a man after God's own heart, who's going to then lead us straight to the cross, lead us straight to Jesus coming. And here she says, I'm your servant. This just drips of humility. I am your servant. Boaz here acts as a type of Christ. You know, he says, where are you? And it elicits a response of obedience. And she uses, and one of the few times I'm going to use a Greek word here, she uses the same Greek word that Paul uses over and over again, which is the word doulos, which means bondservant or slave. She says, I'm your servant, your slave. I've given everything over to you. You are my kurios, my Lord. You have complete ownership over me. I am your servant, if you have, she said. And then it says, spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a kinsman redeemer. And this is fascinating here, because the Jewish folks would always have with them what's called a tallit, which is a prayer shawl. Most of you have seen them, a long garment, about 60 inches long, about 30 inches wide. In the center would be usually some Hebraic writing, and on the end would be long tassels. In the front, longer tassels with 5 knots. Those tassels are called the tzitzi. And there's 5 knots on there for the 5 books of the Bible. Now, if you notice, the first 5 books of the Bible, if you notice your tallit or your prayer shawl, if you've ever seen one, on the front corners is a patch of cloth. This is the reinforced corner of the garment. It's the strongest part of the garment. It's called a kanaf. And this is the part that when you would wear that prayer shawl over your head, you would hold down by the tzitzi, those braided knots. You would hold the kanaf, the strong corner of it, and you would pray. You would hold that as you got this shawl on and you're praying. It's the corner of the garment. Read all the times that Jesus is healing people. The woman who had been bleeding for a number of years, she comes up and she touches the corner of Jesus' garment, and she is healed. It says that they brought to Jesus all who were lamed and who were infirm, and they touched even the corner of his garment. The corner of the garment is considered to be the strongest part of the garment, because not only is it the reinforced part of the garment, but it is also where the prayers of the person reside. Boaz would have worn this tallit many times, prayed to the God of Israel, and held those corners tight. So when it says, spread the corner of your garment over me, what Ruth is saying is, put your strong arm around me. Put your strength around me. If we were to attend a Jewish wedding, when the Jewish bride and groom are announced together, the Jewish groom takes the tallit, he's had his prayer shawl on, and he takes the garment and he puts it over his wife, which is a very physical, literal picture of, I'm putting my strong arm around you. I'm holding you with not only my strength, listen to me, not only my strength, but because it's where your prayers reside, the strength of God. It's a very literal, physical picture of the strength of God being wrapped around. So when, you know, he says, who are you? This godlike question that's being asked. And then Ruth says, I'm your servant. What's the next thing that happens? Wraps the corner of the garment around her. It makes me think of in the Psalms where it says, hide me beneath your wings and remind me that I'm the apple of your eye. That's what it's saying. When Boaz did this, he's saying to Ruth, you're the apple of my eye. I love you, and God loves you.
And he says a prayer over her in that next verse, the Lord bless you, my daughter. And I'm thinking a point of application. I know we're out of time, but if the Lord was going to ask each and every one of us, who are you? Would I say, oh, I'm Mark Burns, I work with Great News Radio, or better yet, whose are you? Oh,
right.
Father God, I'm a follower of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be your child. I want to be yours. Who am I, God? I'm yours. I mean, wouldn't that be the answer that he really would seek from each and every one of us? I'm yours. I'm your servant.
Yeah, and what we have to understand is one of the Hebrew things that have been happening all throughout the book of Ruth thus far. Boaz has been the word mauda. Mauda is a Hebrew word for relative. This is the first point when she says, since you are my kinsman redeemer, that we hear the word Gael, and Gael means redeemer. So right away, Ruth is now, this is a big moment, and remember that this is an oral tradition, so you didn't have, the Gideons weren't around yet, you didn't have a Bible. So this is right away, the people hearing the book of Ruth are going, oh, he is the Gael, he's the redeemer. And what they would have instantly connected is the corner of the garment being wrapped around, the strong arm of God, the Redeemer being shown and come. I mean, it's an amazing moment where God's providence, the doors have been kicked open and God is there. And everybody goes, oh, yes, let's eat popcorn.
And we got to go, oh, SRN News won't wait.
Hey, SRN News.
Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night. And if you can possibly make it to tonight's Rabbi Jesus, we meet at 6:30 p.m. at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet, Illinois. That's right on Route 47 in Riverbend Boulevard. Also know that Founders Week will continue and conclude tonight at 7 to 9 p.m. on WGNN 102.5, 103.9, and 97.1 FM. Have a great day, everyone.